Welcome back to the Just Because podcast, podcast about all things life and cosplay, and welcome back. Yes, it's your boy Jeremy. I'm back here again with another episode for you. This is the second episode with our special collaboration with Smash, where we're going to announce some really cool guests today. And as you would have realized from last week's, where we've already announced two wonderful guests, being both DJ Haru and Gale, who better than to help us announce the guests again for this week? You may have seen them around on TikTok before. Very dashing, very handsome, very chill, very charming. They've got a smile that'll light up the room. They've got a laugh that'll just make your ears swoon. Everybody, please make welcome. And please say hello, Gale, all the way from America.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
That's amazing. Yes. So, Gale, this is your first time on a podcast. You're all the way in New York City, is that the right?
Yep, New York City, that's right.
Fantastic. Look, for anybody who doesn't know who you are, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a cosplayer from Los Angeles originally, but then I moved to New York for college and sort of just began to cosplay, sort of like during quarantine era. There's like that big boom of cosplay. And ever since then, I've just been, you know, focusing on bringing characters to life. I mainly go on TikTok. I love like the lip syncing, acting sort of performance aspect of it. But yeah, that's mainly what I've been doing. And it's just kind of been growing from there. So yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's not something that you've been doing since day one. It's something that you've kind of picked up by the sounds of it during your college days. And are you still studying, or is cosplay the main focus at the moment?
I'm still in like university, third year. So I've got this semester and then one more year and then I'm done. So still very much in the thick of it.
So what are you studying at the moment, for anybody listening?
I'm an illustration major and a writing minor, with a focus in like creative writing. So,
oh my gosh, so like the creative bone's always been there, you're just kind of channeling it to other avenues.
Yeah. All exactly, right. Yeah, I've always loved like storytelling stuff, so you know, cosplay is like perfect for that too.
That's amazing. So how did you actually get into cosplay? Because it's not really something that, you know, when we're in school or growing up, it's like, oh, you can play video games, you can play sports, and cosplay is not really one of those options that we just pick up off the shelf. So what kind of drew you to it, and what made you aware of it, and what made you want to start?
Well, I always sort of grew up in like con culture because my parents both went to like San Diego Comic-Con. My dad wrote for comics, so it's always been something that like I've been, I guess, aware of loosely. And my sister, my younger sister, was fascinated with cosplay, but she never did it herself. She would just like follow cosplayers, and I wanted to become closer with her, so like during quarantine I started to cosplay like her favorite characters, and you know, it worked. Like we're best friends now. Yeah, and now I cosplay all the time, so
that's
yeah.
Amazing. So you guys cosplay together a lot?
We've only ever cosplayed together like twice. She doesn't really like to cosplay, but she loves seeing cosplays in general, so yeah, I was like, I want to try that looks fun, and it's because of her. Yeah,
that's really sweet. Now, I took a little bit of a look at your profile on TikTok, don't get me wrong, I wasn't just kind of shuffling around, but some of your stuff is really good. The video, obviously, transitions that you've put together, and just the way that you've kind of built your audience from there. Is that something that you kind of expected to feel, you know, your profile and your numbers to get that big, or is it something that kind of happened because you were just having fun with it?
Oh, not at all. I wasn't even... When I started posting on TikTok, I was not even posting for an audience in general. I was just sort of, you know, making random things, and I wasn't expecting any of my cosplays to like blow up. And when they did, I just started to have fun with it. I didn't really think about, I guess, the numbers. And you know, I still just try to have fun with it, which is something I've maintained, which is feels very lucky. Yeah, I'm very grateful for it.
So just based on that, because it's something that you started. Not because you had an aim, or like, oh, I want to get cosplay famous, or, you know, this is the thing that's going to get me numbers or anything, but it's something that you did because, hey, look, this is fun, let's just keep doing it.
Yeah.
When was one of the first times that you feel like, you know, you started to get noticed, or people reached out to you for certain opportunities? Because obviously Smash has been in touch with you, and, you know, you're flying over to Australia. Yeah. Later this year, which is really cool. When was the first time that ball really kind of started to get rolling?
I would say my freshman year of college, so that's 2021, I believe.
Okay, so that was like your first year of uni or the year before?
Yeah, first year of uni.
First year, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I was very popular for my Leorio cosplay from Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah,
that's sort of like the thing that most people recognize me from. And I used to cosplay him like every night, and I'd post like 3 times a day.
Wow.
It was a crazy posting schedule. And yeah, I started becoming recognized online for that. And through that, I got opportunities to like promote things on TikTok, mainly, you know, like song promos, stuff like that, some like, you know, products and stuff. But that's probably when it first started becoming like big.
Yeah, right. So when you did kind of start to, because 3 times a day to a lot of people sounds like, oh my God, how do I think up content like that? But this is obviously something that you were doing just because like, hey, I love this character. This is fun. I want to post this idea.
Yeah, exactly.
This idea. And it wasn't with the objective of like, oh, I need to keep up the three a day. Oh, I have to do it. No, it was just because you wanted
to. It's crazy.
And just for those opportunities, the reason I ask this is because there's obviously a lot of people who cosplay and a lot of people who want to, you know, get involved in the kind of things that you do. You're obviously someone that a lot of people look up to. And so with, you know, these kinds of things that they probably ask as well, it's like, oh, cool. How do I get started on, you know, doing something like that? You know, do I have to talk to other companies? Do I have to just wait till I get noticed? You know, how did those opportunities for you come about?
Well, with my current, like, you know, agency and getting jobs now, I reached out to them first. So I think it really depends. You have to have a balance between finding like a niche that you're interested in and committing to that niche, being passionate about it. And then also when you see opportunities to go and reach for them, like, for example, going to cons, if you see a really cool cosplayer, talk to them, like figure out like they made their outfit or they made their cosplay, like ask them how they did it. You know, just I think conversations with people is the most important thing to sort of like get rolling in that. Sort of like establish that community to grow. Yeah,
that's really cool. I was having a chat with another friend last week and they said something similar. You know, I go to a con to enjoy it and have fun, and I talk to people because they look cool.
Yeah.
They look interesting.
Exactly.
And you know, that's how the networking kind of starts. And it starts off with like, oh, you know, I'm a cosplayer, and then this person says, oh, I work for you know, this production business, and then someone's like, oh, I actually run this convention. And you know, kind of through meeting people just because it's fun, you get in touch with the right people.
Exactly.
You actually mentioned something, and I only realized this very recently through recent emails, but you mentioned something about an agency before, and that is that like a cosplay agency or a modeling agency? What kind of agency is that one?
My current agency, it's called Geist. It's specifically for cosplay and cosplay influencing.
Okay.
So it's very focused on like uplifting the individual cosplayer, which I really appreciate because all of the promotional stuff is catered exactly to the cosplayer's needs, and it feels very rather than just being about like, hey, do this promo, do this thing, we're gonna make money. They genuinely care about just sort of making sure that we succeed, which I feel is very unique for a lot of agencies, which it's been like very relieving. Yeah,
that's really cool. And for a lot of people who, I guess, who are kind of listening in, if you don't know what an agency does, they could be anything from, you know, your managers to your marketers to your promoters. But for yourself, what's been your experience working with Geist or an agency versus working, you know, by yourself as an individual? Has it been like a better experience? Has it been less work? Has it been more work? Has it been expensive? You know, what's your experience been like?
Well, by myself, when I first started off, I was afraid to ask for like money for promos. I didn't have a very secure sense of like how much my videos were worth. So having someone represent you, such as like an agency, or having people reply to emails, it just sort of, I think it makes you more confident in many ways, because they can sort of represent you in those ways and make sure that you get different brands and deals that actually reflect your numbers or your work. It's been a huge sort of weight off my shoulders. I definitely appreciate all of their hard work for me. Yeah.
No, that's really cool. I think it's just having that expertise of somebody in the industry who kind of knows, a lot more about approaching brands or knowing how to make the deal or kind of just knowing what you're worth and how to communicate that to the brand. So, you know, you're actually getting paid what you are worth rather than, oh, have a free product. We'll pay you in this free product kind of thing, right? That's really cool.
Exactly.
Now, I know that you mentioned you haven't been in cosplay since day one. It's not something that you said, this is my first hobby since I was 6 years old and I've grown from there, and it's something you picked up a bit later. But you also mentioned as well, you know, having the agency there has kind of helped you recognize, you know, what you're worth. It's helped you grow your confidence in knowing who to approach, what to say, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Have you always seen yourself as this, you know, confident, approachable kind of person who was found it easy to talk to everybody, and that's just how you've been since childhood, or is that something you've also kind of grown into?
Oh no, I was always the shy kid. I was I was always like the kid who sat alone, you know. It was hard for me to make friends because I was chatty, but it was hard for me to reach out. I would sort of like have friends, but I would just listen to them, and so then we would just be like sitting in silence together. So I definitely didn't gain a lot of confidence until I started cosplaying. So yeah, it's definitely been very beneficial in that regard, which I didn't expect at all, but you know, it makes sense. You know, you get to be another person for a little bit and learn more about yourself like through that.
So. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So through the community, that's really cool to hear. And obviously that's something I think a lot of people who get into the scene of just cosplay or video games, that's kind of our comfort zone, I suppose, because we can live through those characters, through those stories. But, you know, since you've moved to New York, you've obviously been ingrained in the community around there with the local conventions and seeing what other people there are like. Have you done many, convention experiences outside of America as of yet? Or what's your experiences with conventions been like so far?
Yeah, I've been to 3 cons outside of the US, and they've all been within like the past year.
Wow.
So I'm pretty new to like the, you know, international con scene. The first one was in London, and then the second one was in Paris, and then recently, this past February, it was in Vancouver in Canada. So,
What's been your, no shade thrown to any other conventions, but what's your favorite convention so far? What's your favorite experience?
Oh, I think for nostalgia reasons, it's AX, Anime Expo in Los Angeles. Because, it's my home city, and it's always been sort of the con that I always wanted to go to as a kid. So when I was finally able to go on my own, it was incredible. Yeah.
That's really cool. Because we have this discussion with a lot of people in Australia, because our convention scene is very much, we've got per city, so Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, we've got, 2, 3, maybe 4 conventions a year. And for Australians, we'll fly between cities to, go to a hotel and go to the con and get dinner or something afterwards. But we've also heard that in America, there are conventions that are sometimes in hotel conference rooms or something. So people just have a room in the same hotel where the con is, and then you go for drinks up in the room, or you go down to the bar, and it's just like this massive party all the time. Is that kind of what conventions are like?
It is true. There's that one, I think the one that fits that description the best is KatsuCon in DC, a little bit outside DC.
Right, okay.
And that is exactly what it is. I've only been once, but it's basically in this big hotel room, which is called the Gaylord.
Cool.
Everyone makes jokes about. I love it. And it's always a raffle of like who can get Gaylord hotel tickets,
Really? Rooms.
Yes. And it's this huge, massive hotel with basically the con is in the middle of the hotel. So you're hanging out in the con in cosplay, and you look up and you're just surrounded by hotel rooms, like balconies. And by like the end of the con day, you like go into the different rooms, and like half of these rooms have like big parties, that not everyone can fit in. It's known as the party con for sure. It's a lot.
Wow. Yeah. Is that something that you're kind of into personally? It's like, yeah, dude, I love partying, just going out, having drinks with mates? Or are you kind of like, my body is a temple, I will never put liquor down my throat? What kind of person are you in that regard?
Well, in the US, I can't legally drink yet because I'm only 20, and the drinking age is 21. Yeah.
So you haven't touched a drop of alcohol because you're a upstanding citizen.
Oh, I have.
Don't say that 21 just yet. Yeah. In Europe, it's fine, right?
In Europe.
Of course.
In Europe. Yeah. So I had the experience, but I haven't had like the classic, like, you know, party Katsukan experience. So maybe next year.
Next year. Sure. Okay, I see how it is. Another step. So in regards to that, because we know the drinking age, you know, that's 21 in America. For us in Australia, it's 18. So we can do a little bit more from a bit of an early age. We're absolutely responsible, 100%. Yeah, we get into no trouble from 18.
Absolutely. No, I believe you, yeah.
But just in that regard, just out of curiosity, because, you know, between 18 and 21, it's 3 years. For some people, that's a long time. For some people, that flies by really quickly. But has that... prevented you or impacted the way that you yourself can do business? Because, you know, in America, you're, you know, technically underage for a few things. Does that, like, prevent you from, you know, doing stuff like, you know, signing brand deals or being able to travel by yourself or anything like that?
It actually has. Luckily, I was an adult by the time most of the brand deals started happening. But I do remember a brand reached out to me when I was 17 to, like, promote a product. And I couldn't because I was only 17. Yeah. And so I remember like emailing them. This was before I was like under any agency. And I was like, hey, can you reach out to me on October 12th? That's my birthday. Like,
did they get back to you?
I'll be an adult then. They didn't, oh, but that's okay.
Damn. Yeah.
It's all right.
That's you right. Know what? that they missed their chance.
It's all good. But there's a lot of parties and raves that happen after cons here. That are 21 plus that I've been invited to that I have to turn down essentially or get like special permission for in order to attend because I'm not, you know, 21 yet. So that's always, you know, it's a bit of a hassle. It's a difficult experience, but you know what? I have like half a year left. Actually, exactly half a year.
Half a year left?
Yeah.
Talk to you in six months. Like, Gail, let's go. It's your birthday. Yeah. Start going on the raves, my friend.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, you know, obviously your career in cosplay has, you know, it's gotten off to a great kickstart. You've gotten opportunities to fly overseas, you know, guest at certain conventions. And obviously there's things which you have to wait a little bit for. But on that note, where you are currently, do you have any, at this point in time, goals that you're aiming for or a certain level of, you know, notoriety you want to be known for? Or are there any... you know, I guess in this case, any cosplay goals or dream costumes and stuff that you are aiming for that you've got in mind right now?
Honestly, my biggest goal is to just sort of more establish the cosplay scene in New York. Okay. So I'm trying to meet with like a lot more cosplayers here. Ideally, I would like to open a studio once I graduate to just sort of, you know, have more of a home base because apartments in New York are so tiny. So having like a dedicated studio space to make projects and stuff would be fantastic. Because I don't really have a lot of room to do complicated builds. So that's a dream for me, is to do more like EVA foam, Warblood, just start working and making more things would be like, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So everything's kind of done from the comfort of a small apartment somewhere in the center of New York, is it?
Yeah. No, for sure.
That's honestly really... if anything, enthralling and motivating to hear, because, you know, I think a lot of people are probably in a similar position to you around the world where, hey, look, we don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of space. We're just, you know, doing the best with what we have, with what we can.
Exactly.
I'm sure there's people out there, and I know friends is like, yeah, I've got dedicated cosplay rooms. You know, I put my sewing stuff here. My 3D printer's in there. I don't have to worry about making noise. I'm like, bro, this is my office space and my storage room at the same time. And I shoot TikToks in here. But for yourself, because, you know, TikTok's your main platform, the short video content. Is that all quite kind of literally done from a small room that you kind of live in?
Yeah, I started, you know, going with friends. We sort of meeting up like in the city and filming content like in the city rather than just like, you know, in the comfort of our rooms, which has been so motivating to just create you know, like more videos and do more cosplays, and it's been very fun. Yeah, but everything else has been done in like the tiniest little space in my little studio apartment.
So. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. It sounds like, if you don't mind me asking, because it sounds like TikTok obviously is huge where you guys are at the moment now, and that seems to be the primary platform for a lot of people. Is that kind of where you feel a lot of, I guess, your attention goes or comes from, or that you're focusing into more the TikTok space more so than stuff like Instagram or YouTube? Do you feel like TikTok's kind of like the place to be at the moment for yourself?
Honestly, it was the place to be for the longest time, and it's still my largest platform and has like the biggest reach. But I do prefer platforms like YouTube Shorts and then Instagram, because I think that the community that I build on there is a lot stronger than on TikTok. Because of like it, for in the case of Instagram, having like stories has been very like beneficial, and just getting to talk to my followers.
I like
Instagram more in that regard, but in terms of like my largest audience, it's still TikTok. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's really cool. So when you guys go out and collaborate, because when I was, let's say, growing up doing costumes and stuff, you know, TikTok wasn't a platform, Instagram wasn't a platform. Some of us were using Facebook pages at some point in time. You're like, Jeremy, how old are you? Jesus. But so what we did is similar things. You know, we go out in costumes, we go out location shooting, and, you know, we try to take fancy pictures, you know, in the streets or down an alleyway or something. And, you know, we just use the pictures or the photos, but obviously video's more of a thing nowadays. But for you guys going out now, you're meeting up with friends, doing content together, is it mostly all, I guess in this case, all video content? Or do you guys do like photo shoots? Or what's the go there?
We usually do both at once. So we reach out to a photographer and we go and we do like a photo shoot. And then at the photo shoot location, we'll like set up a tripod. And then once like the photographer is like done with their work, we make our like video content. So it's like kind of two in one.
Two in one. No, that's really cool. And you and the photographers are all good mates, or there's like a exchange you have to pay each other, or there's like, oh, we'll promote you, you promote me, or what's usually the situation there? Because it obviously differs between people. Some photographers like, oh, the upfront payment of XYZ, or cosplayer XYZ payment upfront for this. What's usually the arrangement do you have for yourself and your friends there?
Oh, it really depends. For example, if like we like one of the photographers that me and my friends shoot with is more new to photography, so they're kind of using like cosplay as to increase their portfolio. So when it's that situation, then usually like, you know, there's no like pay. But in other cases with other photographers, like we all sort of like, you know, set up like an Instagram like group chat, and we're like, all right, like, let's split it this way, or we'll take you out to dinner. But always in some form, making sure that, like, you know, it comes back around to the photographer. So
that's nice. That's really cool. It's really interesting because over time, you know, people come into the community, they say, wow, this is really cool, this is really fun, and they establish themselves. But over time, it seems to be a trend as you get into your mid, late 20s, early 30s, like, oh, you know what, I'm kind of done with this part of my life. And I've definitely met people who they've come into the scene, they've left, then you meet more people, and that cycle kind of goes around. And, you know, you just kind of have to constantly talk to people and meet people in that way. How have you yourself found, as someone who apparently was not naturally popular with people? I still find that a bit hard to believe. You're very charming.
Really?
But for somebody like yourself, how has it been meeting people, you know, talking to people for the first time? Or are you the person who goes up and approaches them and says, oh my god, your costume's amazing? Or are you the person who kind of, oh, they come up and talk to me, or we get invited through professional events and we meet that way? how do you kind of find yourself when it comes to meeting people?
I've tried to put myself out there more. I challenged myself on TikTok. When you make a new mutual, you can see like their DM. And basically just saying like, say hi to XYZ.
Yeah.
And I challenged myself to always send a message to my new mutuals. Be like, hey, I love your cosplay so much. Or just sort of like initiate that conversation. And at cons, it's harder for me because I'm shy. But usually I don't go to cons alone. So I'm like, you know, with a friend or like with a mutual, and I can like be like, oh, they're so cool, I want to say hi. And then usually my friend will be like, go like,
say
do
hi,
it.
Do
you know,
it.
What are you waiting for? Yeah. And then I'll be like, you're right. Like, and so, and then 9 times out of 10, I like muster the courage to, you know, and be social
for that.
And it works. Yeah.
For that 10th time out of 10, what stops you? Is it like, oh no, I can't, they're too famous, or they're too good looking, or they're too cool.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, you know, it's the little ounce of like confidence that I still need to like grow, you know.
You get
another. We'll get there. We'll
that's
get there.
Really cool. So for anyone who doesn't know, and I repeat this probably every episode, I work as a social skills coach with introverts, especially
Whoa.
Cosplayers and geeks, to same thing, help put themselves out there. But it's the same, you know, thing that whenever I talk to a new client, it's always the same thing. It's like, oh, am I going to look weird? Am I going to look creepy by talking to this person? Am I going to be that guy? And what Gail has said here is a really, really good approach. I really like the challenge that you put for yourself, where it's like, hey, a new mutual that we've got on social media, just reach out, say, hey, you know, I like your stuff, thanks for adding me, hoped we can catch up sometime. And
yeah, exactly.
Something like that is a really effective method of getting to meet people, because as you can see, even someone as amazing and talented as Gail still gets really shy when it comes to talking to people. And that's a very human thing, right? It's nothing to be ashamed of whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just getting that ball rolling of, oh, you know, I've talked to this person a little bit online. So, you know, when you do get to see them in person, it's like, oh, I've already had, you know, one conversation with them.
Yeah.
You know, they can kind of know who I am. And I really like that you go along with a friend. Is it the same friend each time who's like, no, this is my homie, that's my guy who's going who's gonna push me forward?
It's usually the same. Similar group, usually.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool that you've got such a, you know, a tight-knit group like that who is encouraging the people who's like, no, go forward,
do it.
You've got this. You've probably got those kinds of friends too, and I know I've had them as well. And, you know, you go to a con together, or you go to an event together, a music concert, or, you know, go out shopping or whatever it is, and there are interesting people, or there is someone you're kind of curious to talk to, and you're like, oh, I kind of want to talk to them, but the friend is probably similar. They're like, oh yeah, I don't know, man, I'm kind of happy just being just us, just, you know, I'm happy to stay with my group. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that if you want to stay to your group, but as, you know, someone like yourself who's obviously, hey, I want to meet people, I want to see who else is out there, I want to, you know, network with, you know, all these other cool people, I think it's nice to have people who support you in that way. They really want to give you that little push. What do you think has been the most, I won't say embarrassing, but what do you think has been the most like nerve-wracking kind of interaction that you have had in that case, which has either gone well or hasn't gone well? I'm sure you've got a cool story behind you know, just meeting someone for the first time.
Man, I'm trying to think. Oh, in terms of cosplay. Like cosplayers.
Oh, it could be like a famous cosplayer, or just a cool mutual, or maybe like a special guest of, I don't know, a TV actor or something who you've had a cool interaction with.
Ooh, I did have a really cool interaction with Anne Yatko, the voice for the Raiden Shogun, the English voice.
Okay.
And it was at KatsuCon, and I was just with my friends, and I believe like I think they're called like the handler for like the VAs that came up to me and was like, "Anne Yatko wants to meet you." And I'm like, what? This is crazy. Like,
what were you wearing at the time?
I was cosplaying Alhaitham from Genshin.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, yeah. And I was just like, you know, in the like exhibition hall, like waiting around, and I was like, oh my goodness. You know, I was like, wow, I feel so cool.
What was that interaction
and,
like?
You know,
was it just like a normal chat, or was it?
It was so normal, you know. I think that's the thing that a lot of people like tend to forget sometimes with a lot of like VAs or cosplayers or any sort of like, you know, person with a big like, I guess, like influence or following, is that like we're all the same, you know. They're just like cool people, you know. So chatting with them, it felt just like meeting anyone else, except, you know, knowing that they're this extremely talented individual. And it was really pleasant. So
that's really cool.
It was a good time.
There's nothing better than hearing like, oh, what's this celebrity like? And they're like, they're cool. They're really nice to chat to. So I think that's a really cool thing to learn about these kinds of people. It's good to hear people that you meet who are famous. They've got a following. They are just regular cool people in real life. So that's kind of nice to hear, because there's nothing worse than hearing about, you know, oh wow, this cool actor or this cool celebrity ended up being a complete jerk in real life, and that sucks. That being said, you yourself have with, you know, your fans or your followers, you've probably met a bunch of them in real life. Some of them have been, most of them are probably fantastic people to speak to, but have there been any, let's say, memorable fan encounters which kind of really stick out to you in a good or a bad way? Don't need to name any names, but what kind of sticks out to you?
I think one that stuck out to me that was like, whoa, like it was surprising. I wouldn't necessarily, it wasn't negative or positive. It was just like, whoa, was, I had a group of people come up to me, and they wanted me to sign their face. And I was like, oh, okay. Like with a Sharpie. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
And they're like, they wanted to tattoo it.
On their face.
So I said no. Yeah. And I said no, obviously. I was like, I don't think that's a good idea. I did sign their arm instead. I don't know if they got it tattooed or not. But it was pretty crazy. That was definitely, I was never expecting someone to want to tattoo.
So someone out there has tattooed
my name on their face.
Your name on their face. That's I'm trying to think of something that's a bigger compliment, saying like, I like you so much. You're going to be part of me forever. I mean,
yeah. I was like, nothing could have prepared me for like what they were going to say.
That being said, for yourself as well, is there anybody that you feel like I would love to meet or even collaborate with this person in particular? Do you have any kind of idols or people that you look up to yourself in that regard?
I really, really look up to the cosplayer, Karina, like Karina Causer, I believe, like, who lives in China, because like she's Ukrainian and I have like Ukrainian ancestry. And she's also like a mother and has been through just so much. And like through it all is just this like incredible cosplayer and is always so uplifting to her fans and offers them such like a safe space. And just through her interactions with her like followers, through her like, you know, just being a mother, all of those things, I just like, I admire her a lot. And I would, you know, I'd love to meet her. Collaborate with her would be insane, but just meeting her alone would be fantastic.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think it's nice that the things that you mentioned, because I honestly will never forget this interaction I had with some friends a while ago. I definitely had good influences and bad influences, as we all do, you know, growing up, but especially in the cosplay scene where it, you know, cosplay is one of those hobbies in which it is a thing which can be a bit vain, because, you know, it is based about our looks, it is based about how we present ourselves, and that is how it is, right?
Yeah.
But the value I think I had with some friends is they put, this person is so good looking, they are royalty, they are queens and kings to me. And anyone who wasn't kind of on that level, they're like, oh, they're not worth as much to me. And I'm like, oh, that's, if it's a bit gross. Whoa. Yeah. But the reason I say that is because, you know, I said, who would you like to collaborate with? And you mentioned Karina, which I don't know them personally, but the things that you mentioned that stuck out was like, you know, they're this person who has gone through so much. They're so resilient. They're this positive, uplifting person. And, you know, that was the value that you put as, that's what I admire the most. And to me, that shows like, oh, those are Gail's values too. Wow. This is amazing. Green flag in a person.
Thank you.
But, for yourself, and the reason I bring this up is for yourself, who's someone who, you know, has been doing cosplay for fun, there's someone who, if anything, stumbled across a bit of notoriety and people kind of see your stuff. You've obviously got a bit of an influence with the people who follow you and watch you and they're fans of you. But what is something or what are some values that you try to promote with yourself as a person that you, you know, try to push as, you know, good values towards the people who do follow you?
I think the biggest one is self-confidence, because that's something that I used to struggle so much with and, you know, found sort of like, I overcame a lot of my insecurities through cosplay. So it's like, I see a lot of my following is younger than me. Mm. Like I think between ages, like 16 to 18 is like around the range of most of my followers. And all the time I see them comment things like, oh, I could never do that, or I wish I was attractive so I could cosplay, like all of this. And I could just tell that like social media is like wearing these people down, and it's like so, it's so sad to see, you know, because that's not what cosplay is about. It's not about like fitting the beauty standard. Like it should never be about that, you know? It's about dressing up and having fun as a character. So I think, yeah, the number one thing is like when you cosplay, like, you know, the only person you can compare yourself to is yourself from the past, kind of thing. Like, you know, that's the biggest one. And just sort of, it's about becoming more self-confident and, you know, learning to love yourself more than like it being like a beauty pageant, you know? So, yeah.
Everyone, enshrine that quote from Gail in 2024. You heard what he said. It's just the only person you're comparing yourself to is the you from yesterday. Definitely words to live by, something I definitely love pushing as well. But for yourself, because I know you mentioned as well, obviously with TikTok, it's very much this thing where we swipe, we leave a comment, we swipe, leave a comment, and you know, we'll follow our favorite creators and see what they get up to. Something like Instagram, like you mentioned before, you get stories, you get to share a little bit more about yourself and your life and what you get up to. With content, obviously, it can be whatever we want it to be. It can be a performative thing, it can be a real thing, but for yourself, you know, you're obviously a real person. You're someone who is, you want to just be yourself. You want to be as true to yourself as you possibly can. How do you yourself try to present that to your audiences versus, you know, obviously on TikTok, we're dancing, we're lip syncing, we're doing all these things, which is, you know, you're putting on a show. It's part of what you do. But in what way do you feel like you try to, you know, connect with your audiences to, you know, be real with your community? How do you try to express that?
Honestly, it's harder not to be real for me. Like, I think it's exhausting to put on this, like, you know, persona. I mean, if anyone's played the Genshin quests, you know, like, I think you'd know the whole, like, Farina arc. Like, that, I think that sums it up, is, like, it's exhausting trying to be someone else, you know? And people can tell, whether they know it like consciously or subconsciously, like it's there when you can see that someone isn't like it seems very robotic. Yeah. I think. And so I guess I just, you know, it comes naturally to just sort of like, you know, I'm not trying to be someone I'm not, you know, of course it's still like, it is social media. So I do show myself when I'm happy, you know, I show myself when I'm having a good time. And I'll still be vulnerable when I'm like, oh, guys, like, I had a rough week, you know? But, you know, I'd like to be open about those feelings, too, because, you know, it's important that people do know that it's, like, real.
Yeah.
I'm no different than, like, any other cosplayer, you know, so.
In that way, do you feel like that's something that you've ever, in your time, struggled with a little bit in terms of, oh, I need to be, you know, this certain person, or I need to have this particular identity online, where you feel like, oh, okay, even if I have to put on a bit of a mask or something, is that something that you've ever struggled with? Or do you feel like, you know, being true to yourself and presenting this real person has always been something that's kind of come naturally to you?
I think a little bit of both. I think I often felt the need to, I guess, like, over-exaggerate my own personality. Mm. Not so much anymore. Now I'm chilling. But in the past, like, especially when I cosplayed Leorio a lot, I would try to like over exaggerate my personality. So, you know, it's like, oh, people know me as a kind person, I have to be the kindest I can possibly be and respond to every single DM, like, you know, extreme levels of, like, you know, like I would sort of sacrifice my well-being to sort of maintain this, like, you know, the kind things that people would say about me. But it's like, That's too much, you know. You have to like protect yourself a little bit. So now I think I found a better balance now. So yeah, for sure.
That's really cool. I think it's a really good thing that you've managed to realize these things, you know, about yourself through yourself just by doing these things. Because it's definitely one thing for you know, someone to have that told to them, saying, "Oh, dude, are you okay? Are you kind of putting yourself out there a little bit too much?" But it's something that, you know, it seems it's definitely come a bit more natural to you. Now, just on that matter, do you feel like that there's anything that a lot of people... I know you mentioned before, you know, some people put celebrities or people with a big following up on pedestals, and I definitely know a few people like that in my circle who do that, and I'm like, dude, they're just people, just have a chat with them.
Yeah.
But obviously for someone like yourself, you know, have to respond to every DM. With having a big following comes a big degree of, you know, people wanting to talk to you, or people wanting to approach you, or people wanting to do collabs, or you know, people wanting to have a bit of your time, which is yours. So you do what you want with it. But what do you think is something to you that you kind of understand now that people misconceive about someone with a big following quite a bit? What's something that you feel like they probably don't understand it and they get wrong from your experience?
I think sort of similar to what you were, you know, you just said, but I think a lot of people have this, you know, they sort of assert a personality onto like people with big followings. So I think this happens with like a lot of creators where people assume that they're like almost like a, like dolls in a sense, you know, like, oh, you should cosplay this character, do this. It's like people become very demanding of like tasks of like bigger creators, because, you know, they begin to like not see us as like normal people like them, and it's like we're just, you know, we're all the same, you know. So I think in that regard it can get like quite, it's overwhelming, because then people will demand you do all of these like cosplays, and it's like, whoa, bro, like I'm a like a university kid in New York, like like that's who I am first, you know, like I'll get there, but give me some time. So yeah, that's definitely one thing. Yeah.
How have you found yourself managing that process? Because you know, it was something I've learnt myself just from talking to some friends who have got a following which is a lot bigger than my own. But they said, I have this inbox full of messages I simply just cannot reply to. And I didn't think that was possible, but you know, I looked at the Instagram message box. I said, Jeremy, look at this. I'm like, it literally has been sitting at the 99 plus thing. And I said, okay, that's a lot bigger. And then they said, oh, so look at this. Yeah. So they go into like, you know, in the Instagram, there's like a primary, a general, and a requests or something.
Yes, yeah.
And that requests thing is in the thousands. I'm like, holy crap. And it is like that, which it's simply not possible to reply to every DM or reply to every, you know, reaction or something like that. How have you yourself, I don't know what your inbox is like, I'm not saying, hey, let's take a peek at it, but how have you found yourself in managing those levels of, I guess, discussions with people? Because there's obviously ones with, you want to chat with close friends, you want to chat with, you know, any companies wanting to reach out, and obviously have some fan interaction as well. But how have you yourself managed to manage that so far yourself?
Yeah, so I used to reply to everything, like everything, which I don't recommend. Like, it was exhausting. I would like make my sister start answering DMs. You know, I'd be like, all right, just when they compliment you, say thank you, and this is what you say. Like, I'd put her to work.
Yeah, right.
To make sure to answer all my DMs. And now, you know, when people have questions, like, hey, how'd you do this cosplay? And like, you know, I have the time and space to respond, then I absolutely will. I also love like replying to like when people make fan art or when they make edits and stuff.
That's cute.
That to me is like the most like flattering thing.
Yeah.
Like, they, you know, took time out of their day to like make these things with me in mind. It's like, so I try my best to respond to all of those. But then like other things, you know, some people say send some interesting DMs, to which I try to, you know, just leave it alone.
Yep,
like,
yep.
You know, I didn't see it, like, because, you know, it can be a lot, just mentally.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess for yourself now, it's just a reply when you can, but you don't see it as like an obligation to say, I need to reply to every single person.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't think it would be possible, or if it were possible, then I wouldn't have much free time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm trying to, you know, manage correctly, you know. I want to, like, oftentimes, like, I try to avoid, like, my, like, the general chat, and more so just new replies, so that I can give, like, everyone, like, a chance to sort of, like, you know, interact with them. Yeah, there's also, like, a sense of distance that I need to maintain that I didn't maintain in the past, and it allowed for a lot of people becoming very invasive, or then sort of coming up with like very parasocial relationships with me.
Right.
So now I try to like have some distance while also letting like my followers know that I am grateful for them, and I am super like glad that we're sort of in this community, you know, without them like, you know, becoming like too invasive of my like personal life. Yeah,
that's cool. Oh, I'm glad that you've kind of managed to, you know, realize that and create that separation for yourself, just in a personal standard. Have there been any times, I suppose, in which you've, I guess, felt overwhelmed by everything, and then you said, "Look, I just need to take a break," or you've thought about just stopping altogether? Has that kind of, have that side ever gotten to you at all?
I think it does sometimes, especially when there are things outside of cosplay that are sort of out of my control, whether it's like personal life stuff, or you know, for example, like whether it's like mental health related, or if it's like my finals for like school, things that sort of become overwhelming. My first sort of like, you know, thoughts are like, okay, like I just like, it makes me dizzy to like open Instagram right now. Yeah. I need to just put it down. And sometimes those negative thoughts can like, I don't know, very, very much weigh me down. So the first, like, you know, the first thing I try to do is like put my phone down and like go touch grass, literally, like go on a walk, go to a park, something like that, you know, do something for myself.
Yeah.
It's too easy to become like chronically online, you know, so I'm trying to like break from that a little bit, especially when like life gets chaotic.
Yeah. For yourself, just personally as well, what do you find are some things that you enjoy doing outside of, you know, posting stuff or being online? What's the equivalent of touching grass and helping you reset, and, you know, what are some of your favorite, you know, things to do to help unwind?
I'm a really big fan of like the cafe scene in New York. So I oftentimes like, yeah, it's really fun. You know, there's so many like new, like themed cafes and just like so many fun things to do. And it's like, it does cost money, but you know, I try to like have a little bit of a budget aside. Like, this is my cafe budget. And, you know, when I have a free day, I'll like, you know, put on my little backpack and like a little kid, you know, I'm like, I'm going to go to a cafe today.
And, just open up Google Maps and find one that's like, oh, I haven't been to that one before. Yeah. That's really cool.
Exactly. I have like Google Maps, like all the saved locations, you know.
That's ones to check out. That's really nice. Yeah. So I think you'd be pretty excited for when you do get to come to Sydney later this year. Because
yes, I can't wait.
You said you visited Australia when you were a little kid, traveling with your family. Yeah. But what do you think are you looking forward to most about coming to Smash later this year?
Honestly, it's just Australia is like the furthest place from the US, essentially. Yeah. Like, it's the other side of the world. Yeah. So just seeing, like, experiencing like Sydney as an adult will be like fantastic. Because, you know, I traveled, most of my travels were from when I was a kid, and, you know, my parents were in charge of like scheduling and activities and stuff, but being able to sort of explore the city on my own and like, you know, see it with new eyes. Also, like, a decade later, like so much has changed. It'll be such like a new experience. I can't wait. I'm very excited about food.
There we go. That's cool. That's a good one. There's a good cafe culture in Sydney too. So I think you're going to go a bit ballistic over that.
Yes.
But I just also realized, because in Australia you'll be of legal age. So I was like, wow, we can grab a beer. It's great.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. I'll definitely try that. There's one thing I remember from when I was little. It's the drinking culture.
Yeah, that's I remember that's a thing. Look,
I remember walking,
and we are 100% responsible. But for yourself, just as a thought, is this like, wow, I kind of really want to try this food or this particular drink. Is there anything that kind of comes to mind?
What is it? Tim Tams? Is that what they like?
Yep, the Tim Tams.
I miss those. I want to have those again.
Actually, it's going to be good weather.
Vegemite. I'm a big fan.
Vegemite? Really?
Yeah.
I'm gobsmacked. I've never heard someone from overseas been like, yeah, Vegemite, that stuff fucking slaps. Wow. You had it when you were a kid back in Australia, did you?
Yeah, I was introduced to it when I was in New Zealand, actually.
Yeah, wow.
When I first had it, I didn't know what it was. Mm. So I remember we were at like, it was like a hotel or something. Mm. And I was with my family. And I saw it like, you know, it was there. And I was like, I'm going to try this. So I put it with peanut butter. Hated it. I was like, what is this?
Yep,
like,
yep.
with my, I thought it was like jam, you know? Yep. Like, so I was like, my peanut butter and jelly, and I was like, oh.
Peanut butter and Vegemite.
And then I tried it later.
Yeah, and what did you try it with the next time?
No. Oh, no, I don't. I still remember it in my mouth. Like, that's how much it, like, influenced me.
Wow. Okay.
And I tried it with, like, butter, you know? Like, mm-hmm. butter, Vegemite, when I was, like, in New Zealand with my family. And then since then, I was like, wow, like, this is revolutionary. I loved it.
I'm glad you got what it was supposed to be eaten like. I think that's the big misconception people have. Look, any Vegemite haters out there, listen up. Gail had it the right way, okay? Because I think a big misconception is people have it like it's a sweet spread. Like, you know, they eat it out of the jar like Nutella or something, and that's just suicide. You don't do that, okay?
Oh my gosh, no. It's small amounts, yeah.
Small amount with butter on bread. It's divine.
Yes.
Thank you. You heard it from here. Americans think it's good. It's confirmed. It is.
Yeah, try it. Try it, everyone. Try it.
Oh, and you mentioned Tim Tams as well. That's our, like, national biscuit. Yes. You will be... In Sydney for the good weather, where you can actually try a Tim Tam slam. Have you had that before?
No. Okay. What is this?
It's basically you get either typically hot chocolate, you can do it with coffee, but you bite off both ends of it, right? And you know how the inside is like this nougat.
Okay.
You bite off both ends, and then you put the Tim Tam just into the drink, and you can drink the hot chocolate through the Tim Tam.
Oh my gosh, crazy.
It is amazing.
I will absolutely be doing this.
Yeah, if you like chocolate, you're gonna love that. So that's a pretty cool thing.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm
excited. Do you know anything about what you... We'll do a little bit of a plug now. Do you know what your duties are that you're going to be doing at Smash? You're going to be judging, you're going to be doing a paneling. What's kind of your schedule, I suppose?
Yeah, so I'm going to be paneling. And I think I'll have a booth where I'll be able to sell I have, like, photo cards. I've been having this, like, new sort of idea. I thought it'd be really fun because I have a lot of friends who are interested in K-pop.
Mm.
And I was observing it, and the photo card idea to me really struck me. I was like, this would be perfect for cosplayers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, imagine trading them at cons, having albums. Like, it's just I was like, this needs to happen. So I started making my own photo cards with the hopes that, like, other cosplayers would begin to do it too.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I have, like, mystery packs of photo cards.
That's cute.
And I'm definitely going to bring a bunch with me to SmashCon, because I think that would be so fun.
That's really cool, yeah.
Just, you know.
So are they going to be, like, business card size, like a Polaroid size, or what's kind of the objective?
There's a very specific format for, like, photo cards. I think it's, like, let's see. I think it's, like, it's kind of like a wide business card.
A wide business card. So it's more like a square, like, or like a...
It's the rectangle. It's like, I'm trying to do the conversions because I have it in inches.
No, that's right. Do it in inches. I'll do it in my brain for centimeters. Yeah.
I think for centimeters, it's 85 by 50. No, millimeters.
Millimeters, yep.
85 by 55 millimeters.
It's like 80.
So it's like...
It's like...
Or like two and a half.
It's slightly
3.5 inches.
It's slightly wider than a regular business card, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Interesting. No, that's cool. If anything, I'm glad, because photo cards, ever since, you know, you see K-pop albums, people are trading them. They're enshrining them in in a sleeve. Anyone who wants to get your...
There's they're fun to decorate.
Yeah. Get your limited edition Gale photo cards, everybody. Smash is coming around.
Yes.
Yes, it's really funny.
Stop by
back, and I say this before, you know, Instagram, social media, TikTok was a thing. We just had like phone calls and Facebook pages and whatever, right? What a lot of people used to do back way when, so I'm talking like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they had something similar to photo cards. I don't know if you've heard of this, because it might be a little bit, I'll say, beyond your time, but they had things literally called cos cards. Where it was, it's literally just a business card, and there was no right or wrong way to do it. So on one side would be, maybe one cool photo, or they put like a collaboration of their three favorite costumes or something. And then on the back, they put their details, like their social media details of what existed. But nowadays, it's very much
essentially the same thing.
Very similar, yeah. But obviously nowadays, it's like there's no need for them, because it's like, oh, cool. Like, you seem like a cool person. Let's swap Instagrams. And, you know, the card kind of becomes obsolete at that point. But I really like where you're going with the photo cards, because that's very unique. It's very like, oh, look, take me in my best form. My best face is on today, and you can keep it and trade it. That's really cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for anyone who is going to Smash, you know, what kind of things will you be doing at Smash? You're going to have, like, a table or do a panel about something to do with TikTok? What's your schedule at the moment for Smash?
Yeah, so from the details that I know so far, there's going to be a meet and greet section. There may be a panel and some type of booth so I can, like, you know, sell, like, the photo cards and, like, prints and stuff, which I'm excited for. But for the most part, details are still sort of, like, you know, being discussed, but it'll definitely like come to light soon, and I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Either way, no matter what happens, I look forward to meeting everyone.
Oh, that's awesome. And just last couple little things, because, oh my god, we've kind of get to that hour already. Has it felt like an hour that we've been chatting for? It's like...
No, it's gone so quick.
Yeah, it has. Well, I'm glad, because it just means that, you know, the conversation's been pretty nice and fun, so that's cool. But just for anybody who... Like I'm just going to say it this way. For anyone who is an aspiring cosplayer or is looking to, you know, grow as a creator on the online space, and maybe they've, you know, like from humble beginnings like you, where it's just, hey, I'm just a person having fun with it, what would be your advice to people like that who is wanting to kind of grow?
I think the biggest advice I have is don't cosplay just for the money, you know? Like, don't have your main motivation for cosplay be, like, fame or money. I think the motivation to cosplay should come from your passion to cosplay. And I think that excitement and that passion and that sort of, like, you know, energy that you bring to, like, your platform is what will attract people to you. So, you know, be as genuine to yourself as you can be, and... You know, I think the other thing too is to find some sort of niche. So whether that's like, you know, you cosplay only a specific type of character, or you dance in cosplay, like find something that you're comfortable doing that you know you can do for a while. Just sort of like, it'll help bring people to your profile, because they'll sort of look forward to those sort of themed videos. That's the other thing too. But most importantly, just, you know, have fun cosplaying and like being another, you know, character for a little bit. So that's the biggest thing.
That's awesome. Love that. That's beautiful. Oh, poetic even. Wonderful. Great. Now, because we are going to see Gale at Smash, and like we mentioned as well, we're also going to see DJ Haru, which we'll have a chat with her another time. But we're at the stage in which there's one more cosplay guest to announce at Smash, who's also going to be attending with Gale. So, Gale, would you like to do the honors? Who will we be seeing at Sydney Smash in a few months' time?
Yes. Yeah, well, it's the very, very talented Keo, who's visiting all the way from Singapore. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, so Keo, like, if you don't know, I've got the little professional blurb here. So Keo's a professional full-time cosplayer with over 10 years of experience. She's been capturing hearts with her passion and accuracy of cosplays. You might have seen her doing things from Overwatch, Apex, and Genshin Impact, spreading joy to people all over the world with it. So go check out Keo's stuff. I'll put more links and stuff down below. But, you know, they're going to be one of the special guests who's going to be... I think you guys are doing a collab of some kind with Smash at some stage together, but I don't know the details either, honestly. Yeah. So. That's really cool.
No, it'll be very exciting. Can't wait.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, Gale, just one last thing, I suppose, for anybody listening in, do you want to give a little plug of your, I guess, your socials and, I guess, whatever message you want to give before you meet them in July?
Yeah. So my TikTok is allthepotsandpans, and then my Instagram is allthepotsandpans.cos.cos, and those are all my usernames for everything else. All the Pots and Pans on X, All the Pots and Pans on YouTube Shorts, you know, all that stuff. And I can't wait to meet all of you guys. I'm very grateful for your support. And like, bring me a Vegemite or something.
That's really cool. I love that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And look, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today. I look forward to catching up with you if we get the chance to. But
likewise, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, no, thanks for joining us. excited to see Gail in Sydney. Everyone who has tuned in today, thanks very much for listening. And if you come to Smash, please do. If you're not, please do. It's one of our best conventions.
Go to Smash.
It'll be fun. but yeah, thanks for listening in this week. Thanks again for tuning in. I've got more cool things coming around. So thanks everyone who has continued to support this podcast up till now. Again, thanks Gail very much for joining us. And we will see you next week. So let's say bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.